Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
In 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was proclaimed in the good old U.S. of A. And the word, the news, that proclamation flowed down from Capitol Hill. To the valleys of Virginia. And to the Carolinas. And to the plantations of Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama. The headlines read, "Slavery legally abolished." It's awesome. The thing of it is I don't know that we understand that. We didn't live through that. So for us to try to wrap our brains around it may be a stretch. For most of modern America. However, slaves in the South went right on living as though there had been no emancipation. In fact, when one Alabama slave was asked what he thought of the great emancipator, here's what he said. He said, "I don't know nothing about Abraham Lincoln except they say he set us free. And I don't know nothing about that neither." Wow. A war was fought. A battle was won. People that all they had known was slavery, bondage, abuse, mistreatment, had been set free. But so many of them didn't live like they were free. And I think that nothing truer could be said about many of us as followers of Jesus is that the battle has been won. It happened on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross was he paid our sin debt. And because of the resurrection, because on the third day Jesus walked out of the tomb, we have, by the power of the resurrection, been set free from the bondage and the power and the nastiness and the vileness of sin. Hang on. We are free if you're a follower of Jesus. If you're not, sorry. You're still in bondage. But here's the thing. I think that way too many of us as followers of Jesus still struggle. We still battle with the same strongholds in the new life that we battled with in the old life. And then there's another one of those words that Christians sometimes use, right? It's that word, strongholds. Is that just Christianese? I mean, is that just one of those words that the church uses that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense? Is it maybe that we could dumb that down a little bit? Maybe we could simplify it so everybody could understand it? I'm not sure. I think that word is a word that we definitely need to understand. It's not just Christianese. It's not just a word. It's a word that holds a lot of weight. I want to jump into a passage. We're going to look at a lot of different passages and see if we can unpack, find the meaning of, and then how to deal with these things that still plague our lives, that we still battle with. Way too many of us here this morning and people listening over the internet are still battling with the same strongholds that you've been battling with for years. You're free, but you're not free. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, by the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold toward you when away. It sounds like he was on Facebook, doesn't it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all didn't know how to take that, right? So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, people get on Facebook and, oh, they all in your face, and you see them in public, and they're kind of timid. And so just so you know, this is really irony. That's what that is. Different things have been said about Paul, and so Paul was kind of laughing. And people would have said, yeah, right. Because one of the things that Paul was known for was not his timidity. One of the things that he was known for was being in your face. In fact, there's some passages of Scripture. In fact, if you go to the book of Galatians, chapter 1, especially chapter 2, then what you'll find was people wished he'd been a little bit timid. But he was bold and he was in their face. So here's what he says. I beg you that when I come to you, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think, you just think that we're still living by the standards of this world. And he says, for though we live in the world, we do live in the world. We don't wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are the weapons are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power. They have divine power to demolish these things called strongholds. So what is a stronghold? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to give you the Greek word. I've tried, honest to Pete, I just can't pronounce it. So I'm going to put it on the screen because I think it's good that we can take you to the root meaning, what the word means. So here's the Greek word, and here's what it means. It means a fortified prison, a strong castle. But this is not a physical prison. It's not a physical prison. It's a mental prison. And how many of you already know that, right? I think some of us wish that it were a physical battle. We wish that we're physical. We wish that we could see, watch the enemy as he approaches. And then we wish that we could know what weapon that we need to choose in order to be able to defeat the enemy that's coming at us. But we can't see it with the physical eyes. It is all about what's in our minds. The mind is the battlefield. Verse 5, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It's in the mind. It's all about how we think. And we take captive every thought. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So the battleground is the mind. And we are locked in by the lies of Satan himself. We are locked into this prison by deception. I'm a prisoner whose debt has been paid for in full. But for some reason, maybe it's because I don't know any better, I still choose to be locked up behind bars. We can celebrate, right? We are free. But are we free? How many of you know somebody, maybe a girl who's like really attractive and she's really thin, but in her mind she's fat and ugly? Anybody know anybody like that? And they make you sick, don't they? Don't you want to slap them? I mean, in the name of Jesus, you know, in love, but don't you want to slap them around a little bit? Don't you want to just maybe pull up your shirt and say, that's fat. You ain't fat, girl. You look good. How many guys do you know that suffer from the opposite deception? Like they think they're hot and they're not. Y'all with me? Y'all go to the same gym I do. And don't you want to walk up to them and say, you know what, that don't look good on you. You need to burn your yoga pants or whatever it is that you got on. That's not right. But anyway, you need to burn it. You know what? You're strutting around like a little banty rooster with your chest all stuck out. What's wrong with you? Because they're living in a prison of deception. One writer said this. I didn't put it on the screen. Probably should have, but then I expanded on his definition. Here's what he said. A stronghold is well defended and difficult to attack. It's well defended and difficult to attack. And then I added this myself. I just added this on to the end. And sometimes it is difficult, maybe most of the time, maybe much of the time, it's difficult to see, which is why it can be so difficult to know how to attack. I can't see it. Y'all ever seen one of those little electric fences that I know rich people got? I don't know. Maybe some poor people got them. I just don't know anybody. And so Karen and I are too cheap to ever get one of those things. But those little electric fences that people will put in their yard, it's an underground electrical, electronic, some kind of wire. And they put that, you know, on the boundaries of their property so that their dogs will not cross that barrier, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so what they'll do is they'll take their dog, and their dog's wearing some kind of collar, at least I think, and they'll get it right to the edge, and they'll zap that dog. Ah, you know, so they'll zap the dog, and the dog, if the dog is zapped enough, will know, I can't cross that line. In fact, at that point, you can cut off the power to the invisible fence. You no longer need it. You could dig it up and sell it. That's probably what we'd do, because the dog has been led to believe he is locked into a prison that he cannot escape. He's locked in by a barrier. Some of us are prisoners locked in by deception. We've been locked in by a lie. And we really come to believe, we know where the line is, actually. We know where it is. We say, I can't cross that line. I've tried to cross that line in the past, but every time I get close to that line, I get zapped. I'm always going to be fat. I'm never going to be free of addiction. I never will be, because you know what? I came to the line. I tried to cross over the line. I got zapped. So this is the way that I guess I was created to be. This is just the way that I am. That's a stronghold. And so this is kind of a new thought for me, okay? So I'll probably mess you up. This is a stronghold. Or is this just the fruit of a deeper stronghold? Y'all with me? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I think for way too long we've been looking at the symptoms of the problem. Maybe for too long we've been looking at what we think is a stronghold, when in reality what it is that God wants to point us to a much deeper stronghold. I'm in another 12-step. You say, why are you in another 12-step? Because I'm jacked up. That's why. But I got friends that are just as jacked up as I am. And so I love hanging around with them. You know what I'm talking about? And so here's the thing. When we came together and said we want to go through another 12-step program, what we said was we don't want to just come to the line anymore. We want to say, listen, this is not the thing. This is just the fruit of a deeper thing. We got to figure out what the deeper thing is if we're ever going to find freedom. I don't want a 20-year chip that says, you know what, I white-knuckled my addiction. I white-knuckled it, and I didn't cross over the line. I didn't cross over. I want to say I'm free. So is there any hope? Can you break out of the prison? Well, of course you can. Verse 4. We'll refer back to verse 4 every now and again throughout this message. It says the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The same guy that wrote that wrote another passage in Ephesians 6. And here's what he said. Verse 12, he says, for we are not fighting. I told you, we are in an all-out war. But you knew that. I didn't have to tell you. Some of you have been battling with the same strongholds for years and years and years and years and years. And maybe there's been temporary seasons of what you thought was freedom, but it actually wasn't real freedom at all, was it, right? So you were just able to abstain from whatever that thing was. However, you didn't find real freedom, and so what you found was, I'm going to battle with this for the rest of my life. This is a war. And you really are under the impression that the enemy is not satisfied with just you crossing the line into sin. He wants to destroy you. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Does that wig anybody out just a little bit? Maybe if it doesn't, it should, because you didn't read that. I'm just saying, right? So this is a bigger war. So we're dealing with evil We're dealing with evil authorities. Are y'all with me? So we're dealing with people that have, we're dealing with principalities that have power that's far greater than ours. But you already knew that too, right? Because you've been battling for years and you still haven't won the war. But he says, the same guy, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, back to verse 4, the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this war. On the contrary, they have divine power. And that Greek word for power is dunamis, and it means dynamite. I love that word. It means dynamite. And that's where we get our word from. And so it's explosive, miraculous, divine power of God. Hello, are y'all out there? But if you're in recovery, you already knew that. See, part of your recovery was you said, you know what? There's a God and I'm not him. And I know that I have tried on my own strength and in my own power to overcome. I have white-knuckled my addiction, maybe my stronghold, whatever that is, you name it. I have been able to white-knuckle that for a while, but I cannot find freedom because I know I don't have the strength within myself. Paul said, you don't have to. That's the point. You don't have to. See? You don't understand the power of the cross. See, the power of the cross. The power of the resurrection, and that same resurrection power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the power that we possess as followers of Jesus. Yeah. Y'all with me? Yeah. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? They have heavenly dynamite power to demolish, to bring about the demolition of. I use this word. I just thought it was a great word. The complete disintegration of. And when I looked up that word, so what is that word to disintegrate? It means to break up into pieces. That's what it means. The disintegration of these strongholds, of the prison walls that lock us inside. So where do we start? Where do we start? Simple. Got to name the stronghold. You got to name the stronghold. You got to figure out what the stronghold is. You can't find freedom from, healing from, deliverance from, whatever fancy church word you want to use, you can't find freedom from if you don't name it, if you don't know what it is. And it's not always easy as it appears because oftentimes we're the ones who are deceived. And because it's invisible, right? It's like that fence. It's there. We know something's there, but we cannot see it on our own. We don't even realize that it's a stronghold. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth, and they will, I love this, so they'll come to their senses. Y'all with me? So they'll come to their senses. There's things I just don't know. I didn't know that it was a stronghold. I wasn't aware that it was a stronghold. The truth pointed out to me, though, that it was a stronghold. And when I came to my senses, based on the truth, I understood that it was a stronghold. When I got with my guys and I started to confess and open up, they were able to point out things to me out of love and concern. Some of them struggling with the same things that we are in the same place struggling with the same thing. Listen, maybe you're not aware of it, but this is the stronghold that locks you in. That they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And we got to come to our senses and recognize the lie through gentle instruction from people who love us and from the truth of God's word. We got to name it. We got to name it. John 8, verse 44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. We know that. And holding on to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. It's his native tongue. That's all he knows how to do is lie. For he's a liar and the father of lies. He's the father of lies. And when we listen to his lies, we become locked into the prison of lies. So we got to name the stronghold. I want to help you. And I want to help you. And then I want to say, here's the caveat. Some of these may only be the fruit of a much deeper stronghold. Are you with me? Some of this, my purpose today is we had to talk about it. You've got to name the stronghold. So maybe what we can help through the power of the Holy Spirit, is that God can take somehow these words that we speak in the next few minutes and you can begin to identify, oh my gosh, you're right, that's a stronghold. And maybe what you'll understand is that's a stronghold, but it points to a much deeper stronghold. That's just the fruit of a stronghold. Here's the first one, material or financial strongholds. Have you ever said this, or maybe you thought this, if I just had more money, if I just had more money, I could buy me another car. Because I need another car, because that clunker I got is taking all my money. Y'all with me? Have you been in that battle? Have you ever been in that battle to say, do I keep repairing this old clunker, and I'm going to have more in it? Because we can rationalize and make everything right, can't we? I mean, it's going to be worth more, you know, less. The car, I'm going to have so much in the car, it's not going to be worth what I got in it anymore. So I deserve a new car. And I'd buy a new car, but the problem is I don't have enough money. But I had enough money that I could buy a new car. And if I could buy a new car, if I could have a new car, if I could have a better car, then really, long term, I'd be able to actually save money because I wouldn't be paying for repairs. And if I had more money, I could buy another house. If I could buy another house, I'd buy a better house. I'd live in a better neighborhood. If I could live in a better neighborhood, then I, as the head of my house, as the protector of my family, I would be able to protect my family better. We'd be better protected in a different neighborhood. Y'all with me? Hello. And so, and ultimately, we keep going down that road until really the conclusion is that if I just had more money, I could buy these things and that would lead to happiness. I'd be more content. Or maybe yours is this. If I only had more money, then I'd feel secure. I'd just feel secure if I had more money. I know what that feels like. You know, as you get older, as you start to think about, you know, the senior years. then you start to think, you know, but here's the trap of that. How much is enough? Karen and I've talked to financial advisors, and they look at us and go, we don't know. It depends on how you want to live. Good? How is good? Well, then you got to define good, right? If I could pay this certain thing off, then I would feel secure. It's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And that's maybe just the fruit of a deeper, which says, you know what, my security really, as I look at my life, my security really, I'm dependent upon me to provide. And the bigger issue is, can I trust God to provide for me? The second area is addictive or habitual strongholds. Man, this is easy. Man, we buzz right through this one, right? You're addicted to something. And the sad thing is, some of you this morning think that's only drugs and alcohol. Ah, I'm good. Man, I'm good. Well, it could be just any kind of old habit. I mean, some are addicted to Starbucks. And now we've got so many other choices besides Starbucks. There's a coffee shop on every corner. And the coffee keeps going up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You wonder why you broke. You broke because you're spending $100. I know people, literally, I'm not making this up. I know people spending $100 or more a month just on coffee. And they say, I'm broke. You know, if you save that money, you could buy you a car. Some of you are broke because you're addicted to spending. And you think spending is a stronghold. It's a fruit of a deeper stronghold. Others are addicted to alcohol. For some, it's drugs. And those drugs, some are legal, some are illegal. Some are addicted to a world of sexual sin. Jonathan's going to follow up with a message on this. Y'all can tell him I told y'all. He was here the first service, and he kind of agreed to that. He didn't really have a choice. I mean, it's tough, isn't it? Oh, y'all are looking at me like, oh, it is tough. God give you desire, right? So what do you do with the desire? And how do you know when it's godly and it's not godly anymore? And where have I taken this? Have I taken it somewhere that God didn't intend for it to be? It's a complicated thing, right? Some things are more pleasant. You can be addicted to sports, computer games, your phone. How many of you know somebody while watching TV will still have their face glued to the phone and you think, what are you doing? You don't even know the TV's on. You keep cutting it up. I don't know why. Because your face is constantly buried in your phone. And people always have an excuse. I don't know about the people that you talk to, but I go, dude, you like your face is constantly in the phone. No, it's not. I'm just checking my emails. No human gets that many emails. Maybe you're addicted to work, and work is where you find your worth. And really, it's just the fruit of a much deeper stronghold. Another category could be personal or physical strongholds. Man, we live in a crazy world today. I don't even know where to start with that, really. You know, billboards might have been a thing back in the day, but I think, you know, the internet is just plastered with all kinds of perfect bodies. And most of the people I know say, I don't like my body. I wish I was taller, shorter, thinner, fatter. Those of us that are fatter would love to help you thinner people, let me just say. It'd take a rainbow vacuum cleaner to suck out the fat I got. But I think you can turn something and we could blow it right back into you. That would just be awesome if we could do that. Some folks are addicted to eating. I wrote this and I got tickled at myself. Some people are addicted to eating. Some people eat too much. Some people don't eat enough. And you know what I said? Well, I'm both. I like to be an equal opportunity eater. And so, you know what? You can take me to a buffet and I don't know when to stop. And I think I'm doing it in the name of Jesus because after all, I want to make sure this is God's money and I'm spending his money wisely. And when I walk out, I would look at me, God, aren't you proud? They lost on me, Lord. I guess we showed them, you know? And then I go into this thing, oh my gosh, I got to be careful. So the next few meals, I want to cut drastically back, and I'm scared to death if I'm not careful that I'll gain those 5 pounds that it took me so long to lose. Am I the only one in the room? Like, does anybody else struggle with those things too? Thank you. There's two of us. Okay, now we're starting to get honest. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Some people are addicted to the gym. They think if you miss a workout, the world's going to come to an end. Maybe the bottom line is that we're addicted to what others think about us physically. And can I just say, I remember a good friend. I'm looking at him right now. I won't call his name Mark. Oh, I'm sorry. I remember Mark looking at me one day. We were working out together. We were having a great morning. And I was complaining about something. And Mark looked at me and he said, let me ask you something. Will you ever look in the mirror and be happy with what you see? I said, get behind me, Satan. I said, you know what? You're right. I won't. How about relational strongholds? I'm crazy about my wife. I love that woman. Whew. I'm so blessed that we have the most incredible marriage. I'm still head over heels in love with her after all these years. But I remember that there was a time when I literally thought I can't live without her. And maybe you have those thoughts too. There's people that you have in your life. And the thing of it is you've put so much pressure on another fallible, damaged human being that they can't meet all your needs. They never will be able to. But we're addicted to others. So we're locked into that prison of I'll never be enough on my own. And maybe that's just the fruit of a much deeper stronghold. You with me? And the final category is spiritual strongholds. I mean, there's people that just don't trust God. And honestly, you've got good reasons why you don't trust God. Because God hasn't answered my prayer. I mean, I've got friends and he's answered their prayers. I mean, God's worked miracles in their lives. And so they were in a financial strait and they prayed and God gave them a new job. They had somebody that was sick in their family and God brought healing. And God's like, he's like done nothing for me. I'm just not worthy. I guess I'm not worthy. And so there's that invisible, I'm in this prison and I'm angry at God. I'm angry at God because I'm just not enough to God. I'm just not enough. Or maybe it's the church. Boy, we're an easy target, aren't we? You can't find the perfect church. You know why? Because it's full of people just like you. And so we're all fallible and we're all broken. And so we come together and we expect somehow there to be perfection. And there's not going to be perfection. Christians are just as jacked up as the rest of the world. However, we're supposed to have principles that we live by so that we know how to navigate and deal with our junk. And then some of you may be looking at me and going, you know what? I don't trust pastors. Can I just tell you? I don't either. I'm as serious as I can be. I watch guys, you know, I get on, I try to learn all I can, and I watch other guys, and sometimes I shake my head and go, have mercy. He's just a big old fat hypocrite. Actually, liar, as I usually think, liar. I think, wow. And so, without realizing it, then we build these walls. So how do we wage war against the strongholds? We attack. That's what we do. We attack. I've already told you we're in an all-out war, and we attack the stronghold with God's weapons. We attack. We don't wait around. Some of you have been waiting way too long. It's time. It's time now as you got to attack. Proverbs 21, verse 22, one who is wise can go up against the city of the mighty and pull down the stronghold in which they trust. We don't wait around. We gotta do something. We gotta do something now. We go on the offense against the schemes of the evil one. We attack with the weapons of God. I'll get to that in a second. Let me go back to verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10. Though we live in a world, we do not wage world war as the world does. And that Greek word, I had to go back because that word wage war is the word that means military warfare, fighting with guided strategies. And we got to have a strategy. The world has a strategy. It's not necessarily anything wrong with how the world will approach it, but then you'll come to an end, and we go to counseling, be a part of a group. Absolutely. Start a 12-step study. You need to be here Thursday night. Jump into CR with both feet and try to get to the bottom of the problem. You don't want to white knuckle. That's not the selling point. We don't want you to white knuckle yourself for 30 days, for 60 days, for 90 days and pick up a chip and say, I won. No. We want to get to the bottom for you to find freedom. But listen to me. What you're going to do is realize that there's no magic in a 12-step program. There's no magic in counseling. If you don't learn how to battle, how to go to war and use the weapons that God has given you, we will still fail because we are fighting principalities that are not of this world, that are stronger and more powerful than we are. I want to give you two weapons I use all the time. I know I got to close. Let me give you two weapons I use all the time. My first one's prayer. I use it all the time. And can I just say, I hope I haven't misled you to think I'm so disciplined and I'm all that and I get up at 4:00. I have to. I don't have a choice. And I have a prayer list. Let me tell you why I have a prayer list. I have to have a prayer list because I'm so ADD. If you give me squirrel, I mean, I'm going, what? I don't even know what I'm praying for anymore. It's the truth. I'll be in Never Never Land. And so what a prayer list does for me is a prayer list keeps me focused. And sometimes, you know, I know God laughs and goes, bless his heart, he's off on a tangent again. And I said, well, Holy Spirit, reel me in. And if we need to be off the list, just point me in the right direction. I want to be faithful to talk about what you want to talk about. And then here's the big one. Here's the big one for me. Prayer, and then I got to have the weapon of truth. I still to this very day have to replace the lies that I have believed from the enemy with the truth of God. And then God starts to renew my mind. Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I had to do it this week. Last year, I can't really share all that stuff with you, but I went through about 2-3 months of some of the most intense warfare that I've gone through in many, many years. I mean, I was to a place, honestly, one Sunday morning, I wanted to quit. In fact, I did quit. I told God, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. I buried my face in my hands. And I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm just done. I wasn't preaching that day, thank the Lord. Aren't you glad? Boy, that would have been a day, wouldn't it? And I remember coming to the church that day, and I was just whipped, and I was defeated. And I was standing right over there somewhere. And I looked down, and I got a text from a guy. And he sends me a text every Sunday morning, and he sent me a text. And I looked down, and there was a passage of Scripture, and I went, bam. Oh, okay, that's it. I smiled. I said, okay, God. So then what I did was, from that moment on, I created a note in my note app that said, God speaks. And so what I did was, every single time that God began to speak, and he spoke every day for at least 5-6 days in a row, I recorded that. I would copy and paste and put it there. And guess what? This week, I mean, and we did, man, I found freedom. Freedom, freedom, freedom. It was awesome. And then this week, the end of the week, bam, I got hit again upside the head. And I started to wobble. I really did. I started to wobble. And so you know what I did? I said, wait a minute. Hold on. I got that app. And I'm going to go back to that one note. And I looked at it. And I started to read it. And when I started to read it, I smiled. I said, Satan, you can kiss my behind. That's not really what I told him, but you're defeated. And you know what? You started to lock me inside of a prison again. You know what? I'm free. And it's not because of my goodness. It's not because of who I am. It's because of whose I am. That's why I'm free. You know what? You can say things about me that might appear to be true, but you got to look at me through the blood of Jesus. Maybe that sounds nasty. Okay. So what's your lie? What's your lie? What's the lie you're struggling with? I bet you got one. Old Testament prophecy of Jesus, Isaiah 61, here's what it says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Springwell has a reputation for reaching the broken. And other people just don't know it yet. They're broken too. We're all broken. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Have mercy. I want you to know that I'm overcoming. I wrote this. Some of my strongholds. I wrote some because I got to be honest, right? I'm no good if I can't walk in with some integrity and authenticity. I hadn't won every one of them yet. And sometimes I think I've won, and then maybe, you know, maybe Satan leaves me alone, maybe for a few months, and then he circles back around. And he goes, gotcha. But then for me, I take out the word of truth, and I go, you're a liar. You are a liar. And I'm going to continue to find freedom. How about you? For some of you as followers of Jesus, I'm telling you what this message says to you is you got to go on the attack. And you got to start now. Today's the day. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Jesus. And maybe the reason that you're not a follower of Jesus is because you got some strongholds in your life. Well, of course you do, right? But maybe it's the stronghold of the lies that you've believed about God and who God is. Here's what I want you to know. He's crazy about you. Amen. Absolutely crazy. And he proved it. He went to the cross. And on the cross, you know what he did? He shed his blood. You know, we preachers have said over the years that there were 3 nails that held Jesus to the cross. That's a lie. There were no nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was love that held Jesus to the cross. It was the kind of love that's so deep that we can't possibly go there, because what he wants is a relationship with people like you and me. That's what kept him on the cross. And that would be sweet. It'd be a sweet story to tell if he just died, but he didn't just die. On the third day, he was raised from the dead. And because of that, you can know freedom. If you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus and you'd like to be, and every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe you'd pray a prayer, something like this. I want to know you, Lord. Please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. I need you. To the best of my ability, I want to surrender my life fully and completely to you. I want to follow you from this day forward. And I want to learn how to walk in freedom. Thank you for your love. Lord, we just tell you that we love you. Wow. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own, but through you, there's nothing that's impossible. Thank you, Lord, that for the lies that way too many of us have believed, Lord, we can walk in freedom. And that will come through knowing you. We love you. So in the sweet name of Jesus that we pray, amen.